Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bam. Joining us online we have is Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Maulana, and yourself?
Allah shukr, alhamdulillah. Allah has been extremely kind.
Maulana, in our last few weeks, we know we were discussing the commentary of Suratul Kahf, and in there, I think there was a time when we were discussing understanding modern technology. And last week, we finished the khutbah of the Suratul Kahf. So before we go into the stories of Suratul Kahf that are mentioned in Suratul Kahf, we decided that it's going to be much more important that we discuss first understanding modern technology, that is the discussion, the understanding of social media, and how parents and kids need to know about social media, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana.
So can we just let us give a quick introduction of what we did? We said that technology in Islam, Allah hasn't told us that we must stay away from technology. We need to know about technology also. Islam is not averse to technology or technological progress. And one advancement of this progression we see in our times of this technology is social media. And we started with the printing press, and from there we progressed to the TV generation, and from there we go in further, and now we come to the social media generation. So we understood that technology is something which is neutral, and it is how we use it. It will either become, make it good or evil. On its own, it's neutral. So, and the social media is something very, it's an intimate part of our life, and as a Muslim. And what guidance is there in our Sharia with regards to the use of social media? And then we had a few ayats of the Quran, especially, and we did a few hadith. And one hadith that comes to mind is that talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin. When we say talabul ilm, we're not only saying that it's our ibadah that comes compulsory on every Muslim, it's also our social life and how we can move forward with this, and our knowledge concerning social life also, that's also important. Maulana?
Yes, Maulana. If you allow me, I know we did a little bit in the previous weeks, but I thought that because there was a break, and maybe we'll just start and commence from the beginning, so we have a proper sequence of the talks, although there may be some things that we might have said already, but repetition can only benefit.
Oh, definitely, Maulana.
Just as an introduction, Maulana, why, you know, you made mention now about the importance of this topic. Just as an introduction before we start the actual discussion, that what is it that we are going to be discussing in this session? This is going to be a faith-based discussion. In other words, we are going to discuss social media in the light of our deen and in the light of the Quran, in the light of the Sunnah. A faith-based discussion on navigating the social media lifestyle. How does social media affect our lives? How does it affect friendships? How is our addiction to our phones, and how does it impact us? How are we to raise our children, our kids, in the environment of the social media? There seems to be some kind of a Muslim issue, a flare-up on social media every few months. Whilst these issues have always been there, social media has put a huge magnifying lens on a lot of things, and we haven't really figured out how to deal with the social media properly. So the goal of our discussion in the next few weeks, inshallah, is to shed light on these types of issues. A practical faith-based approach for us as listeners, the community of Radio Islam, that will inshallah hopefully provide relevant solutions to the problems we face.
Can I just interject here? Normally, I know our previous discussions when we were doing about Suratul Kahf, then it was more an educational discussion where very little input came forward from the listeners. However, this is a social media. It affects not only me, not only you, Morana. It affects everyone in the community. So we would like the input of the listeners also, wherever it's relevant, they could give us input, and they could either give us an SMS or phone us, and the number to call is 011-854-1548, or the SMS line is 48855, and we can also take those suggestions also, Morana.
Absolutely, Morana, and that was something that is very necessary. The very nature of social media is communication, to keep in touch. So, and therefore, the listeners, please be free to bring about any aspects, what areas that needs to be addressed in this very significant topic that we are going to tackle, inshallah. We need to successfully navigate this new culture that we live in. For the first time in history, we have an abundance of friendships. We have an abundance of relationships with people we have never met, and that's through social media. We have a generation of digital natives growing up that have never seen a world without a smartphone or social media. And this is the type of life that we are living in. We must adapt to the rapid changes around us. And the best way of doing that is falling back on the timeless principles of our own deen, of our own faith, of our own tradition, and learn how to practically apply them in the era that we are living in. And irrespective of how a person may want to say that it doesn't affect me, it affects each one of us that are living in the world today. Many of the problems that we are going to address may not be limited to just social media. They may also address the psychology of our generation and how we can overcome the problems that we don't even consider to be problems. As an introduction, Marana, just to talk a little bit about technology and how does Islam view technology. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as an unlettered person to an unlettered community. In other words, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ummi. He did not have the knowledge of reading and writing. He started the propagation and the calling to Islam verbally. But then there was a need to communicate this message with other nations. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the means of communicating via letters and correspondence. And when that happened, it was said to him that these people to whom you are sending these letters don't accept a letter without a seal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a seal made for him in a form of a ring. He actually instructed people to have this ring made for him, which had inscribed on this ring his seal. And in the books of Ahadith, we learn of the many rings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, "This is not our way." Point being, Islam is not averse to progress. Islam is not averse to advancement with regards to adopting the commonly used medium for communication. More specifically, in relation to communicating the message of Islam. And we learn that subsequent scholars used the medium of books and printing of books. But what we are learning here is that technological progress will not be undone. It will continue. Today what we are seeing as technology and the advancement of technology, what we see today, might become obsolete tomorrow. And that's how the speed with which advancement there is in technology. So one such advancement in our time is the social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, WeChat, Snapchat, and you know, the list can go on. I'm not even familiar with all of them, Maulana. And we had to learn these things ourselves. But the idea is that social media is a tool, just like how television was before it. Previously, people used to have the only means of communication and entertainment was the television. But television is now becoming something that is not as frequently used like how people keep in touch and use social media and smartphones. So social media is a tool like how television was before that. And the printing press even before that. So the tool is not inherently good or evil. It's neutral. It's how we use it. The point, this point that I've made is fairly obvious. Now when you look at our times, among the most common practice and among the most common engagements is to be in touch. To be in touch via social media. It is such a common practice. It's such a common engagement that hardly anyone is immune from this. How many of us don't have a Facebook account, have a WhatsApp account, have a Twitter account, or any of the other means of communication that are available today? We exist in our societies. We are affected by our environment. We are affected by what goes around. And we cannot be immune from this. So social media has become a very intimate part of the daily life of a Muslim. So we're not going to ask how much time we spend on it. It's all available for us to see. In fact, I think today people are more on their phones than what they are engaging with people. The minute you get up from your sleep, even if you put your alarm on for your Fajr Salah, the first thing you see is what message I've got. So we're not even going to ask how much time we spend on it. It's all available for us to see. In fact, the time that you spend on your phone, it's recorded, and this record cannot even be deleted. It's not even about your book of records. You've already recording your actions by means of social media. And to just give an example of how people are using social media, subhanallah, to give an idea, a timeline of someone that has went for Hajj, just reached Mina, prayed Zuhr in Mina, prayed Asr, had tea, prayed Maghrib, had dinner in Mina. In other words, every moment of your life you are putting out on the phone and you are communicating and passing this. This is the way we have become today. In many different ways, we are learning to communicate with mass amounts of people in a very short, quick, sometimes manageable and sometimes an unmanageable amount of time, and also in short little messages. So that's a fact. The use of it is a fact. No one can become immune from it. The deeper questions we need to ask is, what guidance is there in our Sharia in as far as these mediums are concerned? More so, these are inventions of modern day. So does our Sharia actually address these modern day inventions? This is a topic that is just as important, Maulana, in my humble understanding. This is a topic, the topic of understanding the social media and the Islamic perspective of it is just as important as the understanding of the masail of Salah, Zakah, Hajj, Ramadan. This is a topic that addresses something that has become a repeated part of the life of the average Muslim on a daily routine, that is the means of communicating online, whether it be through WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And so this is like a form of communication that we are going to have to learn how to manage it properly in view of our deen. We need to teach our family, we need to teach it to ourselves, we need to learn about it ourselves. We need to teach our family the proper usage of social media. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, each of you is a shepherd. And each of you is responsible for his flock. The ruler over a people is a shepherd and responsible for his flock. A man is a shepherd of his household and is responsible for his flock. A woman is a shepherd responsible for her husband's house and children. A man's servant is a shepherd responsible for his property. So each of you is a shepherd and each of you is responsible for his flock. This is a hadith of Abu Dawud. One of the biggest pain points for parents is teaching their kids how to be responsible, how to responsibly utilize social media. This is a major pain point for parents. Many do not know how to even approach this conversation. And in response, in not knowing how to approach this conversation, we end up ignoring this conversation. Families must come together and set appropriate guidelines for themselves, for responsible use of technology, for responsible use of social media. To shepherd well in this regard means having open and honest conversations about it. That's the meaning in this hadith when we talk about a shepherd. That in order to shepherd our family, we need to have open and honest conversations about the use of this technology and establishing firm principles that hold true regardless of technological changes. Well, I must mention, and for the listeners, that as an avid user of this technology, WhatsApp, Facebook, for a while now, I have tasted its fruits, but honestly also experienced the sickness of excess, the sickness of being addicted to it, and I felt the danger of getting lost among the trees. And therefore I felt that for my own purpose, I need to understand the use of this medium in the light of our Sharia. And in order to do this research, I also felt it incumbent to share it with family members, and also incumbent to share it with the Radio Islam family that we share. And that's the reason why we chose this topic, an important topic. It's something very important about our Sharia, is to connect the current times with the Quran and Sunnah. I wonder if the listeners have a different view to the topic that we have chosen, Maulana.
No, I don't think they should have a different view. Well, just on a lighter note, I was just going through one Facebook message. They say, this man was trying to make friends, like how you make friends on Facebook. You know, where you poke each other. He said that he started poking people, trying to make friends. He says he's got 3 followers. One of them is the police, and another one is a psychologist, and another one is he got a private investigator after him.
That's the social media, Marana, because there's so many posts and comments that people post that, you know, your whole life just becomes something that revolves around it. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that, and how what is the input and what's supposed to be the output, and how this medium is just totally controlling our lives. And in the process of our discussion, inshallah, this is a very interesting topic also, Maulana, that how often we post things and how often we want to read things, and how this has become a means of entertainment also. And our Sharia, subhanallah, gives you guidance for all of that. So if something that has become such an integral part of our life, it becomes extremely important to know, it becomes extremely important to understand how to use this medium and how to conduct ourselves. What is right? What is wrong? What is permissible? What is impermissible? I do not want to put something heavy on our listeners, but in my, again, I mention this with absolute humility, and there are lots of ulama out there, and please do give me the necessary guidance if I'm wrong. But I don't want to put something heavy, but in my humble opinion, it is actually fard, compulsory, mandatory, obligatory to learn and know how to use this medium that has become so common in our times. And I take this from a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمُ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. But what and how much of knowledge is farad? That's the important thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it is farad to have knowledge upon every Muslim. What knowledge and how much of that knowledge is farad? Many a times when we look at a hadith of this type, we tend to restrict these ahadith to actions that are related and restricted to the masjid. Your salah, your tahara, the laws of zakah, the laws of trade, the laws of observing fast, the laws of hajj. However, this is a very restricted understanding of this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama, scholars have said that the amount of knowledge that is required to live your daily life that is consistent with the commands of Allah and the precedent of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is necessary. And if you look at the amount of time that we spend on this medium, subhanallah, it becomes compulsory for us to spend time to learn about how we need to use this medium. Now, in doing that, our religion, Islam, the Sharia, makes manifest and it shows its relevance and beauty that even in these things, and even this modern technology, our Sharia, subhanallah, gives us guidance and guides us in these issues. The first thing that I would like to address is intention. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, actions are judged by their intentions. So each man will have what he intended. Therefore, he whose migration was to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his migration is to Allah and his messenger. But he whose migration was for some worldly benefit or for a wife that he might marry, his migration is to that for which he migrated. This is a hadith of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Again, many a times when we see these types of ahadith, we restrict these ahadith again to your normal actions, salah, zakah, hajj, etc. Intention is at the core of any action, and the use of social media is no exception. It is famously said that intention should be checked before we do a deed. It should also be checked while performing a deed, and even after a deed is done. We must assess why we are sharing something. We must assess why we are posting a particular status update. It's all got to do with our intention. What is the underlying message we are trying to convey when we put a post on the social media? Who are we really writing it for? What do we actually hope the response is? And why are we doing that? It's all got to do with our intention. It all starts here with your intentions. And therefore Rasulullah said, actions. You posting a post, you putting out a tweet, you putting out a whatever message, it's an action. And Rasulullah said, actions are by intentions. And every person will get rewarded according to what he has intended. Every facet of social media. Sometimes, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to talk about things on this session that is a little bit out of the ordinary. About things that our minds might not even went to. And please, I humbly, and I'm saying it continuously, ulama, scholars, do direct me if I'm going wrong. But I'm going to be talking about areas that our minds might not even go into when looking at these ahadith and ayahs of the Quran, inshallah, as we go along. That every facet of social media, every facet of networking boils down to this, to your intention. We must examine not just how social media impacts our lives, but also the manner in which we interact with it. Technologies and platforms will change. The core of connecting, the core of sharing is here to stay. There are a number of tough questions that we need to ask when we use the social media. Why do you choose to follow a particular person? Why do you choose to follow a particular Facebook account? Why do you choose to follow a particular friend? Why do you choose to unfollow someone or unfriend someone on this medium? Why do you utilize social media in the first place? Why are you posting or sharing a particular status update? Who are you targeting when you write something? What kind of response are you seeking? These are very tough questions that we need to ask before putting that finger on that screen and sending the send message. These are tough questions we need to ask. Intention is at the core of every action. Again, as I've said, intentions should be checked before a deed, while performing a deed, and even after the deed. Some people want to be entertained, so we will use the social media to be entertained. Some people use it as a productivity tool, or even a business need. Others may see it as a way to be politically or socially active. Some use it to simply stay in touch with family and friends. Many use it as a combination of all these things. And this has become the primary means of staying in touch. And one of the most fascinating things about social media is that it sometimes uncovers your true intention. While all the negative aspects of social media are there, it also has this fascinating thing about it, that it sometimes uncovers your true intentions. It gives us an outlet to carefully craft a certain persona of ourselves. We share things that causes us to be perceived in a certain way. We carefully may write out our biographies and create our own blogs, highlight certain quotes, and find the perfect profile picture to make a statement about who we think we truly are. These are things that we do on the social media. Sometimes we do not even realize the true intention behind what we are trying to convey. The fact is, problems with social media often arise when our intentions go awry, when our intentions go away from the appropriate cause, or when we try to mask our intentions. A person might post something intending to be flippant, not showing a respectful or serious attitude, and then try to mask it with a smiley face emoji at the end. How often do we do that? We say something, but in order to mask what we've said, we put the funny face emoji at the end. And that's what happens. Mixing intentions can be another issue, such as the age-old problem of mixing business with personal. And mixing business with personal things has resulted in so much fitna in our society today. Subhanallah, may Allah save us. Again, check your intentions before you do something, while you are busy engaging in that medium, and also at the end. The challenge in the use of social media is slowing down enough to check our intentions in the fast-paced first draft, to shoot at the hip culture of the internet. The payoff of slowing down, though is immeasurable, it's tremendous. What are the ways that intention plays a role in our social media usage? What's your intention in using it? What important lessons about intention do people need to know? Firstly, I would like to draw our attention to the intention. Again, it all starts here. What are the ways that intention plays a role in our social media usage? These are questions that we need to be asking. What's your intention in using it? What important lessons about intention do people need to know? When posting a photo, ask yourself what you are trying to get across. This doesn't mean that everything has to have some unique value to make the world a better place. maybe we are doing it just pure entertainment. That's okay. And there is room for that in our deen. Do not make deen very dry, that there's no way that we can engage in these things. A little bit of entertainment is fine. And sometimes, by doing that, it may not have any unique value, but it's just pure entertainment, and that's okay, and there's room for that in Islam. Let's take an example. Food can also be a way of connecting with family. Sharing pictures and photos from family dinners or parties, or just a family meal, or reminiscing on something specific from a particular family member. But today, food photos can also be self-serving. It can also be a sign of ingratitude, or for those who constantly post everything they eat, a sign of some serious issues. For some, it can be a means of hoarding or boasting, and boasting or craving for attention, craving likes and shares at all costs. So before you post the next food photo online, slow down and ask. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? And be comfortable with the answer that you get from within yourself. Just have limits. For example, like standing on a chair at a restaurant to get a better shot. In that case, you are better off not documenting it and just enjoying the meal instead. Just as we teach our children to tie their shoelaces, and I've said this before, we need to teach ourselves and teach our children how to navigate social media and the proper etiquette of its usage.
Well, just before we carry on, there is a question a listener has posed. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana, please advise me as to what to do when you're on a family group and if you go off, everybody will be angry, etc. But I am not happy to be on this as people insult each other on it and they chat to whoever they like and they send messages and remarks.
Yes, Mulana, this is a very pertinent question, and that is the basic reason why we have chosen to address this. The questioner has mentioned a few things where we chat with the various people, make remarks about people, and all these are things that our Islamic Sharia has given guidance to. And when we look at, inshallah, in the next few weeks, when we talk on an aspect from Surah Hujarat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسخر قوم, that do not insult, and all of those things are going to be addressed there, and perfectly. If it is a forum, a platform where those things have been committed, which is not permissible or which Islam discourages, then the right thing to do is not to be engaged on such groups. However, if you want to use the group, use the forum for good, for promoting good. And whenever there is a means by which people are not doing the right things, use that same platform to advise people and enjoining good, prohibiting evil. That's what the platform is supposed to be used for. We spoke about the hadith previously, and inshallah we will come back to that hadith, inshallah. But very briefly, Marana, I just refer to that hadith. And this hadith is not directly with regards to social media, but it is about social interaction, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we'll come back to this hadith, or rather let me just talk about the hadith right now, from Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ بِالْتُرُقَاتِ, that avoid sitting by the roadside. Now, the roadside was the means and the place where people used to sit and discuss issues during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the only place where they could meet. Today, the only place where we meet is the social media platforms, and today the virtual world has become an extension of our lives. If we don't take a hands-on approach, we may not recognize who we are, and we may not even recognize our children. And due to the super abundant use of this medium, it is an integral part of our Sharia that we learn the laws pertaining to use this platform, and what is right, what is wrong. And therefore, this hadith is so crucial in our discussion, that this social media is actually the roadside upon which we keep in touch with people. It's become the extension of our lives. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, avoid sitting by the roadside. And the people said, oh Allah's Messenger, we cannot do without those meeting places in which we converse, in which we are able to be socially interacting with people that we are interacting with. This social interaction is something that we cannot do without. And they use the word la budda lana, it is necessary for us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, if you insist on that, then give the road its due rights. Now this hadith applies totally with regards to the social media platform. That firstly, if you are able to stay away from it, alhamdulillah. But if you are unable to stay away from it, then give this platform its due rights. Like how Rasulullah said, give the road its due rights. So the Sahaba asked, what are the road's due rights? And we can ask, what are the rights of this medium? Because that is the medium wherein we keep interact with people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ghaddul Basar, lowering your gaze. Kafful Adha, abstaining from anything offensive. Returning salutations. Enjoining the right ma'roof and forbidding from evil deeds, munkar. So, we learn from here that do not sit around in the streets and just talk. So, on the social media platform, do not just chat and continue chatting. The Sahaba said to Rasulullah, la budda lana, we need some place and time for social interaction. So Rasulullah said, if you really need to congregate, Rasulullah then gave some guidelines. And what did he say? Do not sit in the way. Do not block the pathway. Lower your gaze. Lowering your gaze, abstaining from anything offensive. This is such a beautiful advice on the use of social media, that today so much of promiscuity and immorality is being advertised and promoted and propagated through social media. And therefore the first principle we're learning here is lowering your gaze. Second, abstaining from anything offensive. Now on this chat, family chats, if we are using it to pass sarcastic remarks, offensive remarks about people, we are actually using the medium to become offensive. So abstain from being anything offensive. Returning salutations, use it when we talk of returning salutations. Understand that the Islamic concept of salam and greeting is to promote peace. And everything that is against the promotion of peace goes contrary to the ideology and the concept of making salam. So if the social media platform is used in promoting anything that is against the concept and the ideology and the spirit of salam, that would not be correct. Enjoining right, ma'ruf, forbidding evil. These were some of the guidelines that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. He gave some etiquette. The same would apply to the present day communication on the social media. Subhanallah. It is a remarkable opportunity to show the transcendent nature of our deen, of what we believe in, the guidance and the strength and the versatility of our religion, that it addresses anything and everything. It proves, dare I say, it proves to a Muslim that Islam can teach you how to live in any aspect or any part of your life. I think this hadith very clearly addresses the question that our listener had asked.
Mine is another question. Please add to the discussion how parents with limited knowledge of these gadgets, how they can control or monitor the youth.
Yes, therefore we say that it is necessary for us as parents to understand the harms, to also at the same time understand the benefits. But in order to understand the harm and the benefits, the balance must be maintained. And we need to be realist, and we need to be practical. The easiest thing to do and say that I'm going to ban my children from using the phone or this medium of communicating. What extent are we going to achieve that? Because today, the more you prohibit, the more you stop, the more they are able to find ways of doing it. And like how we said today, we're not even prepared to discuss the harms and the benefits of this. One very practical way is let's have discussions about these things on the table when we eat. Let's talk about the medium. Let us listen from the children. Let them tell us what are the things that are happening. And let's give them the guidance. And inshallah, during the course of our discussions, we will be addressing the principal guidance in respect to being active on this medium. And these are the guidance that we need to learn for ourselves, and also these are the guidance that we need to talk about to our children.
Gee.
For example, let's just take this hadith, lowering of your gaze. Talk to them about, if you want to use the social medium and the various YouTubes and all of that that comes, at least stay away from looking at things that is disliked in Islam. Abstain from anything offensive. Use it for good things. This hadith actually lays out a number of important rules, all of which are directly applicable to social media. Lowering the gaze is a particular important advice. This governs not just having a high level of modesty when interacting with the opposite gender, but it is a good reminder about guarding yourself from threats such as internet pornography. Have a good etiquette when interacting with others. This starts with giving each other proper guidance. Let's at least start beginning to talk about these things. Today, alhamdulillah, we had this discussion. Let this be the beginning of many discussions that we have within our families and within our children, so that both parents and children are aware that Islam addresses these things.
Mawlana, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we hope to speak to Mawlana next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah.
The Salam
time goes so fast now.
Gee, it's 2 minutes left, I think.
Yes, I said the time goes so fast, we've hardly started and the time is over already.
Gee.
Anyhow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's program until we meet again. From myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer Ziad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.